Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 2, Covering of the Jiva's Pure Knowledge and Bliss. So Anucheda 22, bottom of 56. This is shown in Tattva Sandarbha. Though the Jiva is knowledge itself or awareness, clearly it has the power of knowing objects. It has also been said at the beginning, Shudho Vichashte Yavishudha Kartu. The jiva, though pure, becomes absorbed in the covering on the jiva, known as the mind, which performs action opposed to the Lord and which is made of maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.11.2, Udriti. Those in the material world are conditioned souls, nityabadha. The nityabadhas can become liberated by controlling the mind, because the cause of conditioned life is the mind. When the mind is trained and the soul is not under the mind's control, the soul can be liberated even in the material world. When it is liberated, one is called Jivan Mukta. A Jivan Mukta knows how he has become conditioned. Therefore, he tries to purify himself and return home back to Godhead. The eternally conditioned soul is eternally conditioned because he is controlled by the mind. Right? It means as long as you're controlled by the mind, it's going to go on eternally. And as soon as you give up being controlled by the mind, then you become Nityabadha. I mean Nitya Siddha, right, or Jivan Mukta. You know that point is Jivan Mukta. The conditioned state and liberated state are compared to the sleeping, unconscious, and awakened state. Those who are sleeping and unconscious are eternally conditioned, but those who are awake understand that they are eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, even in this material world, they engage in Krishna service. As confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, Iha Yasya Harer Dasye. If one takes to Krishna's service, he is liberated, even though he appears to be a conditioned soul within the material world. Jivan Mukta Sauchate. In any condition, one is to be considered liberated if his only business is to serve Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.11.2. Right? Because we'll tend to take liberation as a situation. Right, you know, controlled by time and space. So in a particular time or a particular space, then we'll consider ourselves liberated. You know, you can say, oh, he's liberated. Oh, he's not liberated. No, you got to be there to be liberated. You know, I think we're thinking in time and space like that. But it's not about that. It's the mind. As Bhagavatam points out, the mind performs actions opposed to the Lord. Why? Because it accepts and rejects. And what is it doing? It's accepting what's good for sense gratification and rejecting what's bad for Krishna consciousness. I mean, what's good for Krishna consciousness. That's the conditioned mind. That's all it does. It looks for sense gratification. Because we have to remember, it's a material element. It's controlled by the modes. Right? So you're going to get the Vaikarika, Tejasa, and Tamasa features of how you identify. But all of those three are separate from the Lord. So we're not going to think of it, even if we're in the mode of goodness, it's still not connected to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? You know. So that's the whole point, is that one simply is making oneself more comfortable by the mode of goodness. So the devotees use mode of goodness as a tool, because then it's close. It's in the position, how you say that, being purified, then you get pure goodness. But it's only the pure goodness because it's connected to Krishna. When you have goodness not connected to Krishna, it's just called goodness. Right? So that'll be that's the Vaikarika, right? Goodness and...
Ego
and goodness is Vaikarika. But it's not Shuddha. Shuddha means connected to Krishna. Vaikarika means not connected to Krishna. Even though it's goodness. So that's why it's said, you can have a Brahman that has all the qualities of a Brahman, but they're not as good as a Chandala who's become a Vaishnav. You know? Why? Because the whole point is to connect the mind to Krishna. It's not about the situation, as Prabhu mentioned previously. Then the Acharyas give the point that the living entity tends to be fascinated by the positions and qualifications and attainments of the materialist. And, oh, yes, we should do that. Then we'll be recognized. Then people will follow us. You know, it's just like, okay, just take, the American president. Okay, he made it to American president. He's, a decent businessman and all that. And he does things that no one else has done. But is everybody breaking down the door to follow him? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that it's a complete illusion. It's another trick of the mind. It's another trick. Only when it's connected to Krishna, then, now you're liberated. Otherwise, it's just nice nityabada or not as nice nityabada. You know, does that make sense? You know, you got that ball and chain around your leg. And so, it's giving you a little problem, on the ankle. So someone comes and puts a little bit of, like some cotton or something inside that thing, that iron thing around your leg. You know, is that better? Yeah, that's so wonderful. You're so considerate and like that. And, if everybody was like you, this world would be a better place. And I mean, great. But you still have a ball and chain around your leg. And that has to be addressed. Birth, death, old age, disease, they're still there. You haven't solved that. You go to Mother of Goodness, you still die. You'll still be born. So that's the whole thing. It's simply this much. And then it says that the liberated soul knows how he has become conditioned. So this whole thing is, oh, is it this, is it that, and all that, because we're basing it all on our own prestige. You know, if I come from Brahman, then coming into action, because the action is closer to the Lord's position, so I'm actually in a better place, so step back, Jack, and quit being so fanatic. Or it's that, how did I come here? I'm so perfect, I can't make any mistake. So if I made a mistake, it's God's fault. So we have either of these two based on passion and ignorance. We're not even talking about a mode of goodness false ego here. Because mode of goodness false ego is, okay, you do something wrong, then you get a result. If I have a bad situation, it's come from a bad, like that. Like you see Yudhishthira Maharaj, using the mode of goodness, then he sees we're in this bad situation because we've done something bad, that's all. And because we do good, we will get a good situation in the future. And Duryodhana, even though he has a good situation now, that's because he did something good in the past, but because now, with the gambling match, he's done something bad, he's going to lose it all. Like that. So that's a proper... So someone in the mode of goodness would not come up with these two philosophies. Does that make sense? So we have to understand is that there is a reality of what you're dealing with here. So someone, the liberated soul, knows how he got here. It's not a speculation. It's that you turned away from Krishna, so now you get a material mind. You turn towards Krishna, you have spiritual mind. You turn away from Krishna, you get material senses. You turn towards Krishna, you get spiritual senses. It's that simple. You face the sun, you got the sun, you can see, everything's light. You turn away from the sun, then you're looking in shadow. It's simple. But we want to make it complicated because we want to stay on the top of the pile and be the most fantastic and get all the facilities. And, it's like somebody mentioned once, they were sitting on the Riviera. I'm not sure. I think they were on the French side. You know, so then the statement would be more correct. Yeah, just to make sure. It wasn't on the Italian side. French side of the Riviera. They were on the beach. And they were laying there on the beach, you know, and all that with the towels and the whole thing. And they were, you know, sitting there and chanting some japa or reading something, you know, like that. And then the comment was, now this is the best of both worlds. Right? But the problem comes down to is, you know, this is what we're looking for.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They say there's no sun.
They say.
Those were Chinese.
They.
No sound.
No sound. Is there sound here? You guys are hearing something? You guys are sitting and go, when's the guy going to start talking and all that? Okay, I dig the mime, you know, like that. And rebooting. This is so funny. Now are they getting sound?
Let's see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh?
They'll get.
They'll get.
They will get.
Were they were getting picture before? Okay.
Actually, Mataji was not online.
Okay, so sometimes they get picture and no sound, and sometimes they get sound but no picture.
Which is much better.
Sound but no picture. Yeah.
Picture is always more or less the same.
Yeah. It's not like it's not, you know, yeah, it's not changing. We can do that, you know, you can do that on Zoom and change the background, you know, you can make it into all kinds of things, you know, festivals going on. And,
Riviera.
Hmm?
French Riviera.
Yeah, French Riviera, you know, you can lay back. And,
I think Srila Prabhupada made that comment when they wanted to film him when he was reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, what's the use? It's just exactly the same picture for you know, for the whole class.
Yeah, no, because they just have it just focused on him. Yeah. And then it's just, okay. You know, now and again they go out to the audience and back, and it's like, whoopee.
But they say, but the statistics say that if you see the person who's talking, you hear much more.
That's true. That's true.
The absorption is much more. Even if you sit in the audience, but you see it far back.
Okay, but as long as you can see.
You have to see. If somebody is blocking, then the attention.
Is that okay? Yeah, because if there's, because also you can see the gestures, you can see all these things, and it makes, it's like we were seeing in the Natya Shastra, everything, all the Abhinaya matches. So then it works. Okay, it's just more Abhinaya. Rather than just the Vachika. Okay, so then basically, okay, then it's saying is that the Jivan Mukta, then he knows how he got conditioned. It's simple. We turned away from Krishna. We didn't consider Krishna in the mechanical process of our engaging our mind and senses. Right, we're seeing things now. You're going to accept and reject, but it wasn't that we're accepting on how it'll be nice for Krishna and rejecting what's not nice for Krishna. So it's not favorable to following the path of rag. Mm-hmm. Right, that spontaneous attraction for Krishna. Mm-hmm. We're taking it what's favorable for mechanics. Yeah. This will make good mechanics, and these mechanics, then you'll be happy, and that's what we say here. Material consciousness is, I perform the mechanics nicely with you know, in my knowledge and skills, because it has to be applied. So if the application of my knowledge and skills goes well, and it gives the results that are expected, you know, the material results, the external results, right, the mechanical results, then I will say, I'm happy.
Yes.
Right? Yes. While if I don't get the mechanical results, I'll say I'm sad. It has nothing to do with the reality of, does that create actual happiness? Or creates for what? You made a nice situation with the body, but you are not the body. So as long as we identify with the body, then we'll say, oh, no, if we have a big place, or we have this, or we do this, or, you know, we have couches for people to sit on, then they'll become Krishna conscious. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't met anyone yet. Here's a devotee, maybe. I mean, I haven't been around for a while. You know, out and about. you know, something COVID and all that. So I have not met anyone that, yeah, I joined Krishna consciousness because they have sitting places in the temple to sit down on. You don't have to sit on the floor. It's like, if I had to sit on the floor, that's it. That makes it a I would not become a devotee. I would not chant. I would not do anything associated. But because they had a sitting place, that is why I joined. You know? That's why I joined. So I haven't heard that said. Like that. So the point is that it's faith that is gained from the association of devotees. That's why you become. It's that association. Now, if you can improve the environment, make it very nice and assist that, that's even better. But to think, to be foolish enough to think that the external environment, that's what's going to create Krishna consciousness, one doesn't know the philosophy. Bhakti is independent, like Krishna. Right? Magrari the hunter is out there in the forest with Narad Muni. What's the favorable situation there? Right? Animals are half dead. But in that environment, by association, then he became realized. So it has to be extremely clear that the reason we're in the material world is because we turned away from Krishna. We don't see things connected to Krishna. And the liberated soul is one who sees everything connected to Krishna. Right? It's that simple. And so then, you know, all these other details of time and space are not important. You know, that'd be like saying, okay, it would be like, let's say someone, you know, stepped off the edge of the porch. And he's on the ground. Like, how did I get here? And says, you stepped off the porch. But then it's not about, no, but how could I step? I mean, was I standing like this or like that? And what shoes was I wearing? And, you know, was I forward or backwards? I mean, all these different things where it's, no, you get too close to the edge and you put your foot in air, you fall off. Doesn't matter if your foot's this way, that way, or, you know, you're doing a pirouette. It doesn't matter. If you're in a tutu and doing spinning around and one foot goes off, you fall off. But we'll have to get into the details and, you know what kind of, how are my shoes tied? Did I put the laces outside? Did I put them inside? Did I use some other kind of fancy cool knot? Was I looking cool when I fell off? I got to be cool. I can't just fall off. So That becomes the disturbance. No. Liberated soul knows you turn away from Krishna, you're here in the material world. You turn back to Krishna, you're liberated. You're in the spiritual platform. It's that simple. That is the whole process. That's the whole focus. How to get people to connect back to Krishna. The secondary will follow. The mechanics are just what you use. It's not that we mechanically use all this equipment here different than the karmis. It's we're using it for Krishna. They're using it for Maya. That's the point. And then they'll say, oh, yes, see, but this is all modern, you know, like this and that, so that's the Yukta Vairagya. No, it's Krishna's energy. You can't, this stuff cannot be made different than Krishna's laws. It's not that nerds make up their own laws and then make technology. As we were reading before in Mahabharata, that when they went to the Nevada Kavachas, they had guns. They had guns, they had missiles, they had rockets. You know, because demons like to use these things. And the devas don't. They'd rather use a bow and arrow with mantras. So much more cool. You know? So that's the thing. It's so much more subtle. But you have to be more qualified. Even if they do get into the mental things, they won't use it for these sattvic things. They use it for illusions. They use it for their focus on illusions. So it's a mentality. So the point is it's how you use it, what it's for. We have to get over this thing that Yukta Vairagya means, oh, I'm using a camera and a microphone. What about the body? Who gave the body? How does it function? How does the brain work? The brain was able to put this together. Who gave the brain? Who gives the laws that you can work within? You can't just do anything you want. You have to follow the laws of nature. Right? So when we understand that mechanics being used for Krishna, then you go towards Krishna. Mechanics not being used for Krishna, doesn't matter what it is, Vedic, non-Vedic, anything. It's the same laws. The same laws. Yes?
But now the difficulty is we take decision according to the guna that is under us.
Yes.
So
that's why we listen to the acharyas.
Yes. Because in passion and ignorance we can never reach the real knowledge.
No.
And we don't accept responsibility.
We don't risk. No. Passion and ignorance, you never accept responsibility. You expect everybody else to accept responsibility, but you don't. Motive goodness is where you expect accept responsibility. You know, it means depending upon your pride and your attachment, you may or may not expect others. If others don't, then, you know, it happens. But this whole idea is this wonderfulness only comes by the motive goodness. That only comes by performance of duties. It doesn't come from speculation. And that can only be useful and maintained if it's pure goodness, if it's connection with Krishna. Yes. Yes.
Another point, I don't remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, they make the point is that originally jiva, if in a passive state of mind, then this is the cause of coming here.
Yes.
Not being dynamic.
That's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Oh, okay.
In Vaishnav, what's that? You know that discussion between the Vaishnavs and the Goswamis? Vaishnavs and the Brahmins, yeah.
Oh, yes.
From what I remember, it's in there. It's somewhere around, because I was saying something once, and then after the class, I think it was, how do you say? The Kirtan Wala in Vrindavan? Indra. Yeah, he came up afterwards and says.
Well, he gave the reference.
Yeah. It was him, though, or it was another devotee? I can't remember. I thought it was him, but maybe it was someone else. But they mentioned that, might have been Vrindavan? No, what is it? He did those original, he was doing those Bhagavatam kind of books for kids with so many pictures in that. He did one volume from England. Yeah. So, in any case, then he brought up the point that in here they're talking about this neutral state and all that. Because tatastha means neutral. So that means you have knowledge. You have all these things. You have knowledge of Brahman. You have the happiness of that position. Right? And you have the consciousness that you exist. Now, in applying that in the mechanics to the environment around you, now do you go forward, because you know that just as I can perceive, I'm knowledge and I can perceive with that things of knowledge. It's not that I'm knowledge, right, but I can't perceive. Right? So I exist, I am able to appreciate others exist. So the happiness gained from that, I can understand, must be coming from somewhere else other than me, because they're not illusioned. So then the natural thing is who is that person? And so then it just develops forward to prema. But if you don't do that, it's cool enough, just the mechanics of it itself and the happiness that comes from there, you're already on the material platform. Even though you may be situated in the spiritual position, you're on the material platform. Because material and spiritual is a matter of consciousness, not of place. Because for Krishna, this is his. It's just inferior. It's like him going out into that shed in the back. You know, that's not, it's a bit, not as great as the house, but he performs his pastimes. So that neutral state, that's the meaning of tatastha. You can choose. Here's the mechanics. You exist. Here are the mechanics. Where are you going to take those mechanics? Towards Krishna or you're just going to use them for yourself. So knowledge and skill not connected to Krishna is material. And then you can say, yes, so on the spiritual platform, they just use it for Krishna directly. Right? And then, so that means, you know, like we were talking before about direct and indirect. So you have chanting the holy name, associating devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in the Dham, or in the temple, and worshipping the deity. Those are direct, whether we appreciate them or not. Everything else is indirect. But for the pure devotees, when they're using all those so-called indirect things, they're actually direct because they're just connected to Krishna. So that's what we see. Who are we dealing with? Was it Kashi Mishra in Puri?
Kashi Mishra's house, yes.
Yes. So then he's doing, you know, his service for the king, and he's a householder and doing all these things. And it's not indirect. It's just about Krishna. So that's the thing, the pure devotees, they see everything connected to Krishna. So everything becomes direct. Well, for us, because we're conditioned, we take these things that are for us indirect because we have to go through stages. It's not that I'm doing this and then that'll get this and that'll get that and eventually get to Krishna. But much of the time, we don't think it all the way through. You know, you say, yeah, we'll do this for Krishna. Then we act. But then we may not be Krishna conscious during that time. And then if we give the result to Krishna, then you get the effect of it being. But if we don't, we get distracted. It was just material. You know? So that's the thing. Is that it has to be appreciated that the pure devotees, it's all connected to Krishna, it's all direct. And the conditioned living entity, they can connect everything to Krishna. That's the Yukta Vairagya. So Yukta Vairagya is just what everybody else is doing. So all of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, that was all Yukta Vairagya. Even if they didn't have technology. It's that everything, all the energies connected to Krishna. So then, then he's liberated, even though he appears to be a conditioned soul within the material world. Because by looking at him, then you would think, you know, he was the physician?
Murari Gupta,
but there was one more. There was someone else who was the physician, I think, for the king, the royal physician.
Mukunda
is there. So it just appears, he's another example, it just appears he's just the royal physician doing all his royal physician stuff. But he was just seeing everything connected to Krishna. And the same thing was with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. You know, so Garadhar Pandit made that mistake. Well, he just looks like a materialist. But the point is he sees everything connected to Krishna. So it's not what they're doing, it's the consciousness. We tend to put it on, oh, it's all right to do this because I connected it to Krishna. So the emphasis is on doing this and not about connecting, not about the connection to Krishna. I'm saying I can do this because I've connected to Krishna rather than I'm connecting it to Krishna. I happen to be doing this. You know? So that's the difference between pure devotional service and mixed. But because it's connected, if we, you know, are doing that, it will come to the platform gradually, gradually, step by step, to pure devotional service. But we have to know that there is a difference. Otherwise, our pride will get in the way. Because goodness, passion, ignorance are three features of pride. Pride in goodness, pride in passion, and pride in ignorance. It's all pride. Because they make it sound like goodness is no pride. It's just nice pride. That's all. Yeah? Yeah? Good?
Yeah.
Okay. It is described in another way. Guner vichitra srijatim sarupa prakritim prajaha vilokya mumukhe sadhya sa iha jnana guhaya. Seeing Prakriti, which creates the bodies of the living beings, similar to itself, but with great variety through the gunas, the jiva becomes immediately bewildered by avidya. Srila Srimad Bhagavatam 3.26.5. Udriti. In this material world, there are 8,400,000 species of life. As spirit souls, they are all transcendental to this material world. Why then do they exhibit themselves in different stages of life? The answer is given here. They are under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because they were created by the material nature, their bodies are made of the material elements. Covered by the material body, the spiritual identity is lost, and therefore the word mumuhe is used here, indicating that they have forgotten their own spiritual identity. You know, so we see that it's just that we've forgotten our spiritual identity, you know, on the philosophical side, and on the religious side, we see before, the whole world is Bharat Varsha, right? That's why it's called Bharat Varsha. You know, it's about those who follow the Vedic. And so, yes, over a thousand years, it's been forgotten. So now it's an opportunity to remind us. So just as it's foolish as we say, we're not the body, we're the soul. And then to say, no, I'm the body. It's just as foolish to say, okay, here's the Vedic culture. This is the natural culture of the soul. And then to say, no, that's just a different material culture than mine, and since it's material, I'm going to follow my own. It's the same mistake. So, in other words, we've caught in the point on the philosophical, but on the religious side, we may or may not have caught that. You know, like that. So it's a matter of reminding people of what was there before.
Nothing new.
Huh?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Yes.
It seems that except for the Vedic philosophy,
yes,
everything else was developed. Is that there was a lifestyle.
Yes.
And then the philosophy came
to support the lifestyle.
Support the lifestyle.
Yes.
But the Veda is completely opposite.
Yes.
You have a philosophy, naturally it includes lifestyle.
Yes.
So if we don't follow that procedure,
yes,
then we lost. We try to justify our lifestyle by, you know, different, there are so many.
Yes, yes.
Philosophies.
Yes, yes. So, so that makes it, excuse me, the difference between the ascending and descending. So in the Vedic, you have tattva. Tattva is Krishna. And then you have the application of that tattva, right? That's abhideya. And so that how that is applied, that's then the culture of Krishna consciousness. That's the Vedic culture. Religion is how Krishna himself interacts with his devotees. You know, his thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. And that, so the position of that, that's the philosophy. But how he does that, that's the culture. So it stems from Krishna. It's not coming from somewhere else. And so then, that's the Vedic, is that you have that and then you apply it. It may be into your situation, but you apply it. Right? And so then, as you said, material means you start with yourself. And this is what I want to do, and this is, okay, and then I find some others that want to do what I want to do, and if we get in power, then we'll make the laws and everything so it's favorable to us. You know, like that. And in the meantime, we'll come up with a philosophy and preach that to try to give influence, that our position will become prominent. But that was you know, that example, the such a classic example. I think it was Descartes. Gross materialist, hedonist. You know, but he's an intellectual. And his other intellectual friends one day kind of commented on, this is not looking good. You know, you're an intellectual. You're expected to behave in a certain way and all that, but you're just such a gross sense gratifier. It doesn't match. So he immediately made a philosophy to show that he was right and everybody else is wrong. And it can't be just, he's okay. It's not, I'm okay, you're okay. No, it's, I'm okay, no one else is okay. So that's how you know it's even though you'll say that, oh, these are he'll be, you know, categorized, you know, within those who are liberal, but they're not liberal. Liberal means you accommodate. Liberal means you can see everybody's position, and accordingly you can engage them. But these modern philosophies that start with themselves and their values and then establish how they're right and others are wrong, it's not liberal. That they'll claim to be liberal because, of course, it sounds stupid. You know, how does it sound great? It's a, you know, I'm a complete self-centered, you know, guy and my people like that, and everybody else can go jump. It doesn't sound good. I won't get anywhere. I have to say, no, this is for everybody and this and that. And it is for everybody, as long as they agree with me. You know, one could say, oh, but in the Vedas you're doing the same. But the point is it's what Krishna likes to do. So we're simply saying, this is the way it is. You can follow it and get the benefit. Go back to Godhead. Or you can not follow it and, hey, you know. I mean, in the local country, I'm sure that there's a huge amount of the 8,400,000 species of life that are represented there. So you could keep them yourself there for a long time. You know? But that's a very, very major, major point. Is that we don't justify our position. We see how do we in our position connect to Krishna. And then try to follow that path. Because otherwise, you want to justify that I'm doing good work and I this and that and I deserve this, that, and so on. You can do that. But then Prabhupada mentions, what's the next birth? The heavenly planets. Indra thinks he's a fabulous guy. He's constantly offending the Lord and the devotees because he's so fabulous. You know, and so because of these things, you can do that if you want. Interesting way of solution. Like in the West, you have wheels on the garbage can. This, they just make the garbage can into a wheel. I'm impressed. They just tie the top closed and then put it on the side and roll it.
Krishna gives the intelligence.
Yes, Krishna gives the intelligence.
If he doesn't give money.
Huh?
He gives either money or intelligence.
Right, yeah. He has the intelligence and we pay him. Yes.
Now the difficulty with the Western philosophies is that they undeveloped in terms of logic.
Yes.
So they never, I mean, not one of them, bring their followers to the conclusion as such. They always hang them, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
But then if we take Vedic, even Vedic or Advait, it comes to the right to the end. It's like after that, that's it. It's like it's either oneness,
okay,
or, you know, or dual.
Right.
But they do bring their followers, so they are much more developed in terms of Nyaya.
Yes.
But the Western, it's because it's experimenting, so it's this or that, or maybe so there's always some leeway.
Yes, yes.
But in the Vedic, it just doesn't exist.
Yes.
So it is much more clear what it is actually.
Yes, yes. And you see is that those who follow the Vedic, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a karma, jnana, yoga, or bhakti, it's always, the results are always so great. You know, even the materialists, the karmis, the facilities they have put to shame anything they got in, you know, outside the culture, like that. You know, the technological things, yeah, that's another thing. But if you see if India gets into technology, they'll be better than others, like that. So you know, it's like, why go to Silicon Valley if you can do it in India? You know, you still get your stale, you know, your rice and sambar, while over there it's like, you know, you end up with something else stupid, you know? No?
They're getting there now. They're getting there, just they have to pay, instead of like $10, they have to pay $3-4. they get everything. The Patels are there.
Okay. Yeah. So the like you said, is that they take it, it's complete. The philosophy, the lifestyle, it matches. While the other ones, that I would say is your Western, they're good at rhetoric. They're not actually good at logic. And any logic that they used is only how useful it is in rhetoric. So in other words, logic is useful in rhetoric, that's why it's used. But if you could win the argument without logic, just rhetoric, they'd do it. You know, it's just like Dharma, by that you get Artha. But if you can get Artha without Dharma, then why would you do Dharma? So yes, the others, they take it through, they acknowledge that there's eternal laws of God, they acknowledge the scriptures and that, and you have to come in line with these laws of God. Even the gross materialists, you still have to follow. Like Charvak, he said, beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee. He didn't say, beg, borrow, or steal, get mustard oil.
Canola.
Canola oil. Beg, borrow, or steal. Yeah. So, you know, it has to be in line with what is actually going to be the real pleasing things. For humans. You know, if you're, you know, something other than human, then yeah, it might be something else. But that's the position. So they're not, yeah, like you said, they're not developing logic to the point they're not using it. That's why I think we mentioned this. When that we're seeing in the drama, then it has 10 qualities that the drama should have. Right? Of those 10, it's actually 3 qualities it should have. And the other 7 are to ensure that's you know, to make it clear that's what it is, or to make it clear that's not what it is. So in the same way as then Gotama, he has the 16 padarthas. Right? The 16 different aspects of logic. But all those are there just to establish, you know, what's the proper way to get knowledge. You know, in other words, Shabda, then you have your 5, you know, your Panchanga Nyaya, you know, it means your thesis, your reasoning, your explanation, your synthesis, and then your conclusion. Like that. That you have to come to that, and that's for the purpose of Siddhanta. So you could say, these 6 items, that's the complete logic. The other 10 are in support of how that is there or what's wrong. Like Prabhupada said, nowadays people have these discussions. It's just, on the Western, it's just vidandva. It's just arguing over the point. It's just rhetoric. That's all they're doing. Whatever they can say to win. It's not about, like you see politicians, you say something, they say something that will make them look good. Very rare do you get ones that have a point and they just stick to it. Does that make sense? So that's the position. Is that it should be appreciated that the Vedic is so much more, it's light years ahead of anything anybody else has. And that's including all these just mundane ones, the 6 schools. You know? Then you have Vedanta, right? Of the 6. And then within that, then you see is there, they get very much, like you said, they bring it all the way to the conclusion there. But it's no matter whether it's Dwait or Advait. Right? And then the perfection of that is a chinta beta beta tattva. You know, you understand the proper balance. So that's the thing, is that if this descending, it's very, very clear. And all these other things are given to make sure it goes. Like, you know, you have you know, always remember Krishna, never forget. So then there'll be definitions of what's remembering Krishna, and there'll be definitions of what's forgetting Krishna. Then you'll have all the particular details of remembering Krishna. You have the details of how not to forget Krishna. But you have to start with that. And if you don't start with that, then it won't be understood. And why do you remember Krishna? Because prema, that's the ultimate goal for the jiva. Because you have thinking, feeling, and willing. So the point is if that willing doesn't give happiness, then what's the point? And what's the point, since the soul is eternal, what's the point of temporary happiness? So eternal happiness can only be had in connection with the Supreme Eternal. And just that experiential aspect of just existence isn't enough. He already has that. So that means it must be dynamic. And so that dynamic interaction with the Lord, based on prema, that's going to be the ultimate goal. And Lord Chaitanya stated that. Prema Pumarto Mahan. So that's the top. Prema Pumarto Mahan. That's your goal. Then how do you do that? Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Right? Does that make sense? You know. And so then, like that, then you're going to, it comes down. Right? So then you're going to have, you know, we're the eternal servant of Krishna, right? Abhideya means to act in that relationship, and Ananda means, you know, to please Krishna. If you want to not, you have to please the complete whole. You know, it's like the hand feeds the mouth, the hand will be satisfied. The hand sits there and smooshes up the Mahaprasadam itself, then it'll still get weak and everything. When it puts it in the mouth, it'll get nourished. Right? Then you have the processes recommended by Krishna, you know, the philosophy and the religious aspects, so that you can appreciate how to, you know, what is proper remembering and never forgetting and all those things. And because we're people, we act within the context of being people. So naturally, yes, someone has an occupation, someone has this, someone has that. And then that all works. And that then is organized by the acharyas. We see Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya then spoke, gave it to Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami then spoke, but Jiva Goswami then formalized it. He created the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha, which is just formalizing and making it clear what Jiva Rupa Goswami gave. And then Srila Prabhupada then has taken that and given that to us in a form that accommodates all the aspects, and that's called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So then how that works, how that's functioning, you know, how what are the elements within ISKCON that makes you always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna to attain prema, then that's the things that we have. We have our organization, we have our temples, or we have our deity worship, you know, we have our farm communities, our preaching, our sankirtan, we have the BBT, we have the GBC to see to the, you know, the standards are maintained, that people are understanding this. Temple presidents to run local things, you know, like this. And so, like this, all these things come down until you get down to the guy and how he's supposed to hold the spoon when he stirs the, you know, the subject. So then it's complete. Yes?
I was reading in a database that Srila Prabhupada in Seattle, 68. He takes that verse, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajosha Tanaya, you know, like explaining top philosophy.
Right.
And just point by point, give some Bandha Abhideya and Prayojana to the devotees.
Yes.
And it's quite esoteric.
Wow.
But then Srila Prabhupada gives it
right
to whoever, you know, are there, his audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that Prema Pumarta Mahan, because it's right there, you know, in that verse.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. He said that's the goal, and then he says that the Abhideya is following of the, you know, in the footsteps of the damsels of Braj.
Right.
And then we worship, you know, Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Baba.
Right.
So he gives everything. I mean, he's trying to give.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the response, whatever the response is, and then he gives Govinda Madhipur, Shambres, you know, like that.
Mm.
So it's all there, but we have to, you know, we have to value it. Because if it's not a value, we won't pay attention. So, yeah, another class, another talk.
Yes. How you say? Our perspective, I mean, how you say, you have the saying, American saying, another day, another dollar. You know, you just, you know, you work and that. So another day, another class. Yeah. Yeah, so, no, if you listen to those early 66, 68 classes, Prabhupada gives everything like that. But he's very, very, you know, on this point about how, you know, we're not the body, we're the soul, we're servants of the Lord. He focuses on that a lot because that's the sambandhigam. That's what you're supposed to come to. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we're his servant. So how is that applied? As devotional service. But then as that, following the footsteps of the gopis. Why? Everybody, even Bhishma Deva, that because of their full surrender. So every devotee wants to be able to be as surrendered as they can be, like the gopis. Right? You know, and the ultimate goal of then is prema. Yes. So that, then it's very, very clear. Now, taking that, now if you come down from there, then things fall into place. You know, like you go into management. Unless management is producing remembrance of Krishna, not forgetting Krishna, and an inspiration to attain pure love for Krishna, following the footsteps of the damsels of Braja, you know, serving the son of Maharaj Nanda, then that management is an absolute and complete failure. It's useless. Shrama Yivya Kevalam. It says right there in Bhagavatam, first canto. You know, we don't even have to get up to, you know, 9th, 10th, you know, 11th. It says right there. It means you do your duties, no matter how good they are. It's a waste of time. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'd rather be a bug in the house of a devotee than be Lord Brahma if I'm not a devotee. So it has to be appreciated. That this is what we're doing, you know? You know, so whatever you're doing, if you're cooking but it's not for Krishna, if you're doing whatever else you're doing, it's not for Krishna, please Krishna, one has to see that. And it's not enough to say, oh, I'm just being practical. It's not enough. Okay, that's something someone could say back in the 60s, 70s when they didn't understand. It's been 50 years. People don't understand things. I mean, how long does it take to get a PhD? Right? You know, it's 12 years, you know, like that. Then you have another 4 years at 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Like, you know, 20, 22 years. Like, it's been 50 years. So we have to understand this. What's the thing? Descending means it starts here. You know, who the soul is, who we actually are. That's self-realization. And all the other things, you can connect them to Krishna. It's great, fabulous. But we need one of these things. Oh, okay.
How long it takes to do PhD?
Yeah, and we're not even counting now kindergarten, nursery school, these are all you have to go to. Before it was you could go or not if you wanted. You had to start first grade. But now in countries you got to start classes when you're four.
Somebody
told
me in Mumbai it's from two, not from four.
But I think England is four.
Those are daycare centers. At two-year-old, they start daycare center.
Yeah, but still, they're teaching them something. What to get ahead?
Nothing. They give you drugs to sleep and make them sleep so that they need not sleep.
Oh, Valium, yeah. One devotee was telling me once, he was working at this place. Next door was this, you know, like nursery school and all that. Just all the kids were always so nice and pleasant, never fought, never anything. So one day, he happened to be out there and bumped into one of the people. He says, how is it your kids are so nice? I've never seen kids like this before. He says, oh, when they come, the first thing they do is they have their milk. You know, milk and cookies. He said, we put Valium in the milk. I mean, it's probably illegal now, but back then that would have been back in the 60s.
Oh.
You know, and so then he was saying, wow, how are these kids so... I've never seen kids like that. Yeah.
Who would like to deal with somebody else's kids?
Hmm?
Who would like to deal with somebody else's kids?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
And they say that when we don't have a systematic spiritual education, mm-hmm. as a member, automatically the tendency, some devotee can be really focused on pure devotion service, and many devotees are dealing mainly with the mind because intelligence is lacking.
Yes, or they're using their intelligence following the mind. It's just that, does the intelligence control the mind, or does the mind control the intelligence? So the systematic education is just to make sure. It's kind of like the net.
Yes.
And that you go through, you study and all that, because otherwise one would naturally want to read and study.
Yes.
But the most important thing is association. So that means if leadership has this understanding,
yes,
then they're naturally going to see anybody working under them has this understanding.
Yes.
So skill, knowledge and skill is not enough. That means, yes, you want good knowledge and skill because you want to do something nice for Krishna. But if one foolishly thinks that that's all it takes, I have some degree, I did this, and so therefore now I'm a great devotee, they've missed the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
They've really missed the whole point. You know, it's like that saying, you know, after hearing the whole Ramayana, then you ask, whose brother is Sita? Like that, you know. So the whole point is that association would keep you focused on pure devotional service. So even if you don't have much knowledge of that, you would be focused on that, that's what it's for, and you'd judge everything there. Then with the systematic, then you would see how that's supposed to be.
Yes.
And if you have that, the two, then you see very quickly people from the beginning will catch that.
Yes.
Otherwise, then it'll take them a long time. And then how many people stay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like you're going through, you know, the courses that Prabhupada's given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not going to happen, all four of them, in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to take some years.
Yes.
But how many stick? How many have these degrees? You know what I'm saying? How many are studying? How many are putting in that effort? You know, because it's always, oh, the managing or this or that. There's so many things, because that's the value. If you're a big manager and all that, you can think, no, this is universal. It's universal by the modes that you think, if I'm a manager, I'm the top. But actually, the top is you know, the understanding of knowledge, of God consciousness. That's why Brahmins are the top, not Kshatriyas. You know? So that's why it's hard to establish Varnashram, because no one wants to be... I want to be the top like the Brahmins. I want to have all the control of the Kshatriyas. I want to have all the wealth of the Vaishyas, and I want to have the lack of any responsibility of a bureaucrat. Perfection. So that's why you can't establish Varnashram, because no one wants to say that, well, my nature only does this. Because in other words, if what I just said is true, then you're a bureaucrat. Because Brahma Kshatriya Vaishyas would not think like that. Unless they're, you know, Dvija Bandhus, and of course, yeah. And so that comes into there, that's Kayasthas. So either they're a Shudra by nature and they have this ability, or they're Dvijas and then they're in a fallen position, so then they're doing this work. And they'll do a good job. Kayasthas always do a good job. That's why they're there. But what you should understand is that this is not Varnashram. And then, of course, remember we were reading before in Chaitanya Charitamrita about how there's one area, I think it was in Bengal, they don't consider the Kayasthas very high, but there was another area in India that they elevate them right up there to the top. So that's what we're talking about. So it's a mentality. Chaitanya Charitamrita already discussed this point, that there are those who are Kayasthas and they're elevated up to that they're the topmost because they're doing so much money. It's just like, I have money. Without money, you can't do anything. Therefore, I'm the top. So that's how Vaishyas think. Without money, the politicians, the educated, they can't work. So therefore, money's the top. So like that, when the bourgeois try to run everything, then this is what you end up with. You know, and bourgeois on a good day. Yes.
In relation with the point that Prabhuji made on the modern philosophies.
A little louder.
In relation to the point which Prabhuji made on the modern philosophies and the current discussion, I kind of understood that the modern philosophies, they're actually dealing with the psychology, and they don't actually address the philosophy of life.
Mm.
Because the philosophy of life actually has to answer the question of existence and then the purpose.
Mm.
Whereas the psychology is just based on your
experience. Mechanics, how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very nice. Mm. You understand?
The modern philosophies, they only discuss the psychology of life. They don't discuss the philosophy of life. Because philosophy deals with the existence and what like happens after life, and all those questions need to be answered. Because it has to deal with the underlying existence of human life. But psychology is all about your own experience, the human behavior, and hypothesizing based on that.
Yeah, and it's inductive, so it'll be what you value and everything. So it'll be the mechanics of the psychology rather than what's the purpose of for the psychology. So philosophy, then in actuality, then is answering who are you. Like you see, is that what's the living entity? What is the Lord? What is the material energy? What's their relationship? Then how you act in that relationship, and what's the ultimate goal? You can take that's the Vedic, and like you were saying, all the six schools, you can get a very exact thing. It may be wrong, but they thought about it. But now if we ask, okay, from the Abrahamic, what is the soul? What, how do you define it? What is it? What's the symptoms?
Jewish.
Okay, Jewish. Okay, and what's the ultimate goal? One word also. Starts with an E.
Oh,
enjoy. Right? And so therefore, what's in between? Whatever you have to do for you is to enjoy. So that what's God? He's the guy that supplies.
Yeah.
You know, what's the material energy? It's what you enjoy. What's the process? You know, being pious enough to please God and then endeavoring primarily in your enjoyment. And then the goal is, I get the facilities I want, I enjoy. And they're clear about this. The Jews, but you ask the Christians, what's the soul? They don't know. Like that, I can't speak on what the Mohammedans think. But, you know, I would think it'd be a little close to the Jewish understanding. Because I don't think they've changed it as much. While the Christianity, they've messed with the philosophy a bit. And so this, that, and all these others, they can't define what the soul is. They can't define what God is. They can't. They're just trying to. Philosophy means thinking. Well, is there a God or not? So they're just, you know, how you say, existentialist, basically. They just, do I exist? Do I not exist? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just looking. Existentialism, philosophical theory or approach which emphasizes the existence of the individual person as a free and responsible agent determining their own development through acts of the will. That's existentialism.
Okay. So according to my will, I am performing activities and getting the results of those because I exist. You know, so I think, therefore I am, basically. So I think, I feel, I will, and by my willpower, by my determination, I can make it go in whatever direction I want to get whatever result I want.
There's nothing to do with God.
No, God's not there, and they don't even know who they are as a soul. They just know that they're some. They have willpower. They have the ability to knowledge and that. They don't know they are knowledge. They don't know their position, but they know that they can perceive.
Yeah.
Right? And they have will power. So they've caught that much only. But that's and these are guys that sit around and think.
Yeah.
Your common person doesn't even get this far. You know.
But the common person, they can
studies
in school.
Studies in school.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're studying to become a clerk in somebody's place. You know. Yes.
And that's the reason why the most appealing thing in terms of philosophy to them is at most Patanjali, because he deals with the psychology, he doesn't touch on the philosophy.
Even
yoga. The Karma Mimamsa philosophy is like, as soon as they bring the aspect of karma, it's already throws them out a bit.
Yeah, because you have to be pious. They're not pious enough for that.
And the Vedanta, not even this.
No. Yeah.
And another interesting thing, Maharaj, in
this yoga thing. Also, yeah, the Shankhya they can't handle. They're not going to be so much that, you know, the touch of the atoms, the touch of the logic, the touch that there's some mechanics in the universe. But yeah, yoga is going to be more the, I mean, that's the one that's you go with. But as you see, it's not new, because they'll say, oh, preaching in the yoga studios, that's a new thing, that's the latest thing. Prabhupada started there in America. That's where he started, was in, you know, Dr. Misra's yoga studio. Those early classes in 66, 65, they were in Dr. Misra's yoga studio, you know. And so then he saw that they're not interested in becoming devotees much, you know. You know, and the hippies were a bit more. So then, you know, you cultivate that. Yes.
No, I was looking at the clock.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 5 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm thinking, yeah, okay, yeah, we got 20 minutes, you know. But I didn't notice that, hey, we've had 20 minutes for the last, you know, hour and a half. Yes, every word is a song, every song. That's a good point. Okay, we got 20 minutes. Okay, so it's a very, very important thing is that these things aren't developed. That's what Krishna Hans is adding, is an actual understanding. But it doesn't have to be technical. That's the beauty of the descending, is that the essential points, those are universally able to be appreciated. Then, according to your nature and that and ability, you can descend down into all kinds of technical detail. You know, it's just like we're seeing in the drama. That drama is for the purpose of elevating the consciousness of the audience. And the presentation must be pleasant, it must be clear, and it must be have enthusiasm or life. Like that. That anyone can understand. But now all the fine details of you know, how you put your foot and hand and this and that, like you said, you know, the hand positions, you know, one hand and there's so many of those, two hands, there's so many, that then somebody who has that brain can do. But that's the thing, that's descending down. Well, the top point, because why? Because it's to elevate you in Krishna consciousness. So that means drama is to please Krishna. Right? And so therefore you elevate the consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Therefore these are the main things like that. Then you get down into, yeah, the plot has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Like that, there's a progression. Someone's attaining something. Because ultimately we're attaining Krishna consciousness. So then these points anybody can understand. Whether they're intellectual or not, they can all understand this. That's the descending process. So we pick out a certain detail. Okay, this detail doesn't bother them, and that detail. So we'll give them that, and that's the preaching. That's, you know, and because it works for them, and I identify with them. That's universal because I'm universal. Like that. So the point is no, universal is already, it's already been established. We don't have to establish universal. So the acharyas have already given us what's universal. And then you get the details from there. So you start with that. Like you're not the body of the soul. We're trying to be happy and all this and that, but we're not, even though we have so much nice facility. Prabhupada's talking about, you know, complaining, oh, we have no facility in the West. They have so much more than other places. You know? But at the same time, they're still not satisfied. And you get up to the really rich, they're still not satisfied. They have millions. They want billions. The billionaires want trillions. Trillionaires want more than that. So it doesn't work. Yeah. So that's where it starts. So. Right there. This forgetfulness of spiritual identity is present in the jivas, the souls who are conditioned, being subject to covering by the energy of material nature. Jnana guhaya is another word used. Guha means covering. Because the knowledge of the minute conditioned soul is covered, they are exhibited in so many species of life. Because they don't know I'm the soul. They identify with the body, and because of that, you get up with so many species of life. Because I'm this body, I act in a way with this body, and accordingly, I get the body that goes with that mentality. But if I know I'm the soul, I'm not the body, then I stop acting like that. Then you move up. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st canto, 7th chapter, 1st canto, well, the living entities are illusioned by the material energy, end quote. In the Vedas, also it is stated that the eternal living entities are covered by different modes, and they are called tricolored, red, white, and blue. Living entities. Oh, that is so funny. Red, white, and blue. Okay, so white will be goodness, red will be passion, and blue will be ignorance.
Also in the primary colors, red, white, blue, and yellow, according to Natya Shastra.
Red, white, blue, and yellow.
Yes.
Yeah, because yellow and red are in the, I mean, white are in the same position. That is so funny, isn't it? So I guess in that way you could say it's universal, right? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.